The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, August 25th through Sunday, August 31st, 2025. The commentary for August was written by Jessica Andrus Lindstrom, a retired teacher, college counselor, educational writer, and a head of school. She worships at both Holy Trinity in Manistee, Michigan, and Bruton Parish in Colonial Williamsburg, Virginia. Now, the commentary for Monday, August 25th, begins as follows with a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 12 to 13b. We grow weary from the work of our own hands. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we speak kindly. Here's the commentary for this Monday. When I think of people who have grown weary from the work of their own hands, I think of firefighters facing walls of flames, health workers confronted with overcrowded hospitals during the pandemic, soldiers fighting for freedom in treacherous landscapes, and single parents working multiple jobs to feed their families. At times, those exhausted are also maligned, told that they have not done enough, or told that what they did harmed those they were trying to help. It is those debilitating moments Paul addresses in 1 Corinthians 4. When others don't see our efforts as worthy, we are instructed not to revile or slander. We are to bless, speak kindly, and endure. Yet where can we find the strength and resolve to do that as Jesus commanded when he told us not to hit back but to turn the other cheek? Psalm 91 tells us, under the wings of God, behind God's shield, for God is our refuge and our stronghold, the one in whom we put our trust. And now I'm going to read this passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 9 through 15. For I think that God has exhibited us apostles as last of all, as though sentenced to death because we have become a spectacle to the world, to angels, and to mortals. We are fools for the sake of Christ, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are held in honor, but we in disrepute. To the present hour, we are hungry and thirsty. We are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless. And we grow weary from the work of our own hands. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we speak kindly. We have become like the rubbish of the world, the dregs of all things, to this very day. I am not writing this to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For though you might have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. Indeed, in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. And the moving forward question for this Monday, August 25th, is, when weary, how do you endure? The commentary for Tuesday, August 26th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verse 33. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. A family friend died recently. She was 104. Her memorial service was a joyful celebration of her lengthy life. Not long before she died, a former student of mine succumbed to cancer. She was just 20. Her memorial service, celebrating her short life, brimmed with grief. 2 years earlier, she had received her high school diploma from my outstretched hand. Why do some live long lives and others not? We're not supposed to know what God alone knows, and perhaps not knowing the future is a blessing, really. It forces us to live in the present, where we are expected to lead lives of purpose, love God, and treat others with kindness. Keep alert, Christ charges us in Mark 13, before adding, keep awake. He promises that by remaining vigilant, we will not be taken by surprise as the end draws near. Whether our final day is our death or meeting Christ when he comes in glory, we will be able to face death knowing we have done all in our power while on earth to prepare for a heavenly kingdom. And now I'm going to read from Mark chapter 13, verses 28 through 37. From the fig tree learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday is, how do you keep alert spiritually? The commentary for Wednesday, August 27th, begins with a passage from the Old Testament, the first book of Kings, chapter 3, verse 9a. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. When asked by God what his heart desires, King Solomon doesn't request riches or a long life. He asks for an understanding mind to govern well. Pleased with this wish, God gives him great wisdom that becomes his hallmark. Ironically, Solomon loses this discernment in later years when he yields to foolish, licentious, and idolatrous behavior and doesn't repent as his father David did. Solomon becomes estranged from God. If God were to ask us today what our hearts desired, would we ask for tangibles or more abstract gifts like wisdom that could heal a broken world? Did trailblazers like Thomas Gallaudet and Henry Winter Stile, the founder of the American School for the Deaf, and the first ordained Episcopal priest who was deaf, ask God for discernment and understanding to be able to teach and preach in a world governed by sound? I like to think they did. Now I'm going to read for the full passage from the first book of Kings, chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. Solomon made a marriage alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David. until he had finished building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall around Jerusalem. The people were sacrificing at the high places, however, because no house had yet been built for the name of the Lord. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David. Only he sacrificed and offered incense at the high places. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the principal high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, although I am only a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, all your life. No other king shall compare with you. If you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your life." Then Solomon awoke. It had been a dream. He came to Jerusalem, where he stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. He offered up burnt offerings and offerings of well-being and provided a feast for all his servants. And the moving forward suggestion for this Wednesday is pray today for wisdom and discernment between good and evil. Now let's turn to the commentary for Thursday, August 28th. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, verse 22. "He took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to them, and said, 'Take, this is my body.'" The Eucharist started more than 2,000 years ago with just 12 individuals seated at a table with Jesus in a secluded upper room during a Passover meal. 11 of those 12 disseminated Christ's words from one person to another until communities all over the globe were breaking bread and drinking wine in Jesus' name. Incredible. In the Episcopal tradition, we usually receive the host in our hands and drink from a shared chalice. During Catholic Mass, the priest places the host on a congregant's tongue. I've attended services in other churches where whole loaves of bread baked by parishioners are sometimes broken and shared, and where worshipers take bread and individual cups of wine or juice, return to their seats, and in unison eat and drink. The first time I experienced that communal practice, I felt those holy goosebumps, Holy Ghost goosebumps. Whether celebrated daily, weekly, or monthly, this sacrament unifies us in the Christian faith. I praise God for this holy, life-changing meal. And now I'm going to read from this full passage of Mark, chapter 14, verses 12 through 26. On the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. And wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." So the disciples set out and went to the city and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he came with the 12, and when they had taken their places and were eating, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be distressed and to say to him, one after another, "Surely not I." He said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the bowl with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one to have not been born." While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And the moving forward question for this day, is there a time when you've received the sacramental bread and wine that was particularly meaningful to you? The commentary for Friday, August 29th, begins with a passage from Mark 14, verse 38b. "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Knowing his betrayal is close at hand, Jesus asks Peter, James, and John in Gethsemane to stay awake and keep guard so he can pray. Try as they might, these disciples cannot keep watch. They succumb to sleep. How often have I, for all my good intentions, steered away from the spiritual, what I know God wants me to do, and given into the flesh, procrastination, temptation, fatigue. More frequently than I would like to admit, I need discipline to keep myself awake and on guard, and I have found such discipline compellingly outlined in A Morning Resolve. This forward movement prayer has kept me focused for decades on what a Christ-centered life should be. I will try this day to live a simple, sincere, and serene life, the resolve begins. I will try to be faithful in those habits of prayer, work, study, physical exercise, eating, and sleep, which I believe the Holy Spirit has shown me to be right. The conclusion affirms that only by looking to God, our Creator, and Christ, our Redeemer, will we be successful in leading disciplined, faith-filled lives. And the moving forward suggestion for today is to read the morning resolve. So I will read that to you now. I will try this day to live a simple, sincere, and serene life, repelling promptly every thought of discontent, anxiety, discouragement, impurity, and self-seeking, cultivating cheerfulness, magnanimity, charity, and the habit of holy silence, exercising economy in expenditure, generosity in giving, carefulness in conversation, diligence in appointed service, fidelity to every trust, and a childlike faith in God. In particular, I will try to be faithful in those habits of prayer, work, study, physical exercise, eating, and sleep, which I believe the Holy Spirit has shown me to be right. And as I cannot in my own strength do this, nor even with a hope of success attempt it, I look to Thee, O Lord, God my Father, in Jesus my Savior, and ask for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The commentary for Saturday, August 30th, begins with a passage from Psalm 116, verses 10 and 11. How shall I repay the Lord for all the good things He has done for me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. The three women remembered today were martyred for sheltering Catholic priests who were imprisoned and often killed during the reign of Queen Elizabeth I. They are Margaret Ward, Margaret Clitheroe, and Anne Lyne. Prior to the American Civil War, individuals took risks to harbor runaway slaves and assist them on their journeys toward freedom. European families during World War II hid Jews in their attics or helped them cross borders in search of safe havens. Churches became sanctuaries in the early 1980s, housing Central American refugees seeking asylum. As a member of one such church, I recall when the U.S. Chief of Protocol came to observe. She found no evidence of the refugees who were living in the basement. In today's gospel, the ultimate repayment and sacrifice are set to unfold. Judas betrays Jesus. Jesus is arrested. From the cross, Christ will lift up His cup of salvation, calling upon the name of the Lord. Now I'll read the passage from today's gospel from Mark chapter 14, 43 to 52. Immediately while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, and with him there was a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard." So when he came, he went up to him at once and said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. Then they laid hands on him and arrested him. But one of those who stood near drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to them, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled." All of them deserted him and fled. A certain young man was following him, wearing nothing but a linen cloth. They caught hold of him, but he left the linen cloth and ran off naked. And the moving forward question for this Saturday is, how do you lift up your cup and repay the Lord? Now, as we near the end of the week and the end of this program, we turn to the commentary for Sunday, August 31st, the last day of August, and the 12th Sunday of Pentecost for this year. It begins with a passage from Luke 14, verse 11, "For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." There was a time in my past when I did not earn enough to make ends meet. I had to be resourceful, seeking gratuitous meals and moonlighting. Since that time, I have lived in comfort, but I know unforeseen events could easily change present circumstances. As we learn in Luke 14, sometimes in life, we are the hosts at the banquet. At other times, we are the invited poor, able to partake, but unable to reciprocate. Not long ago, I stood behind a family in the grocery checkout line who did not have the money to cover all their purchases when it came time to pay for what the cashier had rung up. They began removing items to return: juice, rice, bread. It was a flash from my past. I'd been there. I motion to the cashier to add those groceries to mine. Happy are they who fear the Lord, we read in Psalm 112. They have given freely to the poor. How grateful I was for the opportunity to show spontaneous thanksgiving for my current financial stability. And now I'm going to read the gospel for today from Luke chapter 1, verse 4 and 7 through 14. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of the leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place," and then in disgrace you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." And the question for this Sunday, August 31st, have you experienced times in your life when you have given spontaneously with a grateful heart? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.